we present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday. In June 1942, two German U-boats headed quietly into American waters, aimed at two isolated beaches. On board each craft was a team of four men, eight specialists, primed for an audacious mission, codenamed Operation Pistorius. But neither team knew of another passenger with an even greater mission that could shake the world. He was the ninth man. The ninth man. A chilling story based on historical fact by John Lee and dramatized for radio in 25 episodes by Victor Max.
I felt a bit uneasy at first over Gay's unexpected support of my idea that the missing spies might be right in the heart of the capital. But I didn't expect her to take the ball and run on her own. The whole thing had seemed so far-fetched to me that I was almost ashamed to tell her about it in the first place. But the more we browsed through the newspapers, the more the thought presented itself that anything might be possible, especially in the light of what Jerry Fenton had told me at the White House.
It wouldn't surprise me if the president himself took a hand in this. And once he hears about you, you're on your way.
Gay, I'm not doing this for visibility. I'm only
Well, you can call each item out to me, and I'll make an entry on it. How far back should we go? When did the submarine land?
I'm not sure. Probably the weekend before last.
Probably? That's not good enough. Find out tomorrow. We'll need to know exactly so we can prepare a solid brief. Do you think we ought to look over the New York newspapers, too? No. No, I guess not. We're trying to prove they're here in Washington, not New York.
In another part of the Capitol, a young woman and the man she had come to know as Ray Patterson were becoming more intimately acquainted.
Been such a wonderful day. I can't remember when I last enjoyed anything so much.
It's not over yet. I didn't know you were also a Glenmiller addict and such a connoisseur of wines.
You've just been kind. I just happened to have a bottle in the fridge, and it happens to blend in beautifully with the company and the music. Oh, Ray, has it really been so good?
Beautiful. You?
Yes. Ray? Zip me up at the back, please.
Yeah. Sure.
Raymond.
Yes?
Raymond, do you think I'm tall enough?
Just right.
No, I mean it. Only tall girls can wear clothes really well. Do you really think I'm tall enough?
Yes, I really think you're tall enough.
Do you still respect me after last night?
Respect you? Oh, you darling. I may even erect a monument to you.
I never brought a man here before.
I know that, Sarah. And it pleases me.
Ray, I'm sorry. I lied. Not about bringing a man here, that's true. I never have. But I've been here with a man. My husband.
Husband? You're married?
Yeah. Ray, please don't hate me.
Well, I'm sorry, Sarah. I didn't know.
Oh, no, it wasn't your fault. You had no way of knowing, Ray. It was my fault. I let you think. Oh, Ray, you must despise me.
Don't be silly. What happened last night just happened. No one is at fault.
I'm not that kind of girl, Ray. Honest, I'm not. I love him. I really do. And I try to be faithful to him. Oh, dear heaven, I'm a terrible person.
No, you aren't.
Ray, you're so good. It can't be wrong, can it? Nothing that feels so good can be wrong.
No, it isn't wrong.
I wish I could believe that. Oh, Raymond, my darling, I'm falling in love with you. You must know that, don't you? I could never have been as close as we were last night if I weren't falling in love with you.
Of course you couldn't.
It's true. Some girls might go to bed with just anybody, but I'm not like that. I gave myself to you because I'm falling in love with you, and you're falling in love with me. It's a sacred trust, a bond of our love. You wouldn't respect me if it were any other way, and I wouldn't respect myself.
I know that. Look, sweetheart, shouldn't you hurry? You'll be late for work.
In a moment. The important thing is that we mustn't hurt Ben. We'd just break his heart if he knew. Oh, this moment is ours. For now, there's only us. You and me. But we can't forget Ben, do you understand? Someday, some sad, sad day, this will have to end.
I understand.
Oh, you're so good. So gentle.
You better hurry, huh? You don't want to miss your bus.
Bus? Aren't you going to drive me?
Well, there's nothing I'd rather do, but I can't. I'm running short of cash. I gotta go out and find a job.
You could wait a day or two. I've got some money in the bank. Not much, but enough to keep us going, and I'm getting a good salary.
I don't take money from women.
Yes, of course. It's one of the things I like about you, Raymond. Principles are important to you. You're so honest. So sweet. Do you need any money for gas?
Well, maybe a couple of dollars.
Here. That ought to cover it.
That's a $20 bill.
Will you be here when I come home?
Sure.
You promise? You won't just go away and not come back?
I promise. I'll be right here.
Lovely. I'll see you tonight. Oh, dear, I forgot to feed the birds. Will you do it for me?
Sure.
They get one coffee can full of grain in the morning.
I'll take care of it.
Thanks.
Thank heaven she's gone. 5 minutes more of that cloyingly sweet garbage and I'd have been sick. Falling in love for fate's sake.
Yes, but in spite of the tears and the sticky dialogue, her romanticizing about everything is a little touching in its way. Is it not?
Hell, does she have to ease her conscience by embellishing her actions, making them palatable by convincing herself that she's falling in love?
She has nothing to be ashamed of. Perhaps as time passes, you may grow closer together, be more comfortable in each other's company, even learn to like each other a little. What if the shoe were on the other foot? What about Goethe? Have you thought about her?
Goethe? There's no need to think about her. She's different, separate from all the other compartments in my life.
Yes, she's different. But have you thought about what she might be doing 6 days a week when she isn't dutifully going to church with her family and writing you her Sunday letter? Hmm? And more to the point, what about her nights? Huh?
Doesn't matter. I decided long ago that only the time we spend together matters. Can I still bag both a president and a prime minister? I have no doubt that the war will end soon. Then I'll be home with her 7 nights a week. But that'll have to wait. Now I must think about today's business.
Man's first stop that morning, Tuesday, June 23rd, 1942, and the 11th day after the landing, was at the National Press Building, 2 blocks east of the White House. It was an old building, erected in 1926, filled with news offices and information facilities, rented to wire services, and small newspaper bureaus, and big city correspondents assigned to the Washington beat. But the top 2 floors were different, plushier, filled with an exclusive warren of dining rooms and reading rooms and lounges, the private social club of Washington journalists, a place where reporters could escape the pressures of a pressurized wartime society and dawdle over social drinks with their peers, a place where Dietrich could launch his alternative solution to the problem set aside for him back in Germany.
Quite impressive, isn't it? Panel walls covered with mats of famous front pages, original drawings by noted editorial cartoonists and comic strip artists, photographs of notable club members standing shoulder to shoulder with instantly recognizable world leaders, bronze plaques proclaiming important newspaper awards.
Yes, and equally impressive are the many early bird journalists already bellied up to the bar so early in the morning. I think I'll find what I'm looking for here. Someone who can fit my special list of qualifications.
Listen, buddy, I just saw the best baseball game of the season. You know who made it the best?
Well, you tell me.
Some Navy chief bosun's mate named Bob Feller pitched 5 innings for Norfolk against the Army Old Stars. What's the point in watching cripples and 4Fs at Yankee Stadium when the best ball's being played on service fields?
Oh, yeah? What about Jock and Joe, huh? He's in a Yankee uniform. He plays a pretty fair brand of baseball. Well, you tell me about him.
What do you have, sir?
Brandy and soda.
You're new, aren't you? Don't think I've seen you in here before.
Yes, I'm new.
Thought so. I know most of the boys by sight. You need anything, you ask me. They call me Phil.
Thanks, Phil.
You change.
I'm Dave. Dave Pastor.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Pastor. Are you thinking about joining us? I could introduce you to a couple of guys, get your name put up for consideration.
I thought I'd hang around for a few days first, just see if it's worthwhile.
Oh, it's worth it. It's kind of a second office for some of the guys. Drinks are big, cheap, food isn't bad either. And you can pick up most of the government handouts right out in the reception hall. A couple of people never even leave here, except to go home every now and then and sleep and change clothes. Beats working, they tell me. Remember, you need anything, you ask for me.
Hey, Phil, you seen this?
Huh?
Don't look too good. Axis victory. Dubruque's fallen. Rommel and his Africa Corps got the British on the run. All North African fronts falling apart.
We better get over there quick, huh? It says the disastrous turn of events in Libya caught the British off guard. British Parliament gravely disturbed.
Yeah.
British Minister Churchill faces a vote of censure in the House of Commons. Hey, give us another round, will you?
What else does it say?
It says that the Prime Minister is said to be somewhere in the United States for top-level war discussions, might well be forced to break off the talks in the next day or two and return to England to face the expected challenge to his authority.
Well, well, well. While a feeling of elation swells through my chest, I never thought I'd be sorry to hear of a German military success. But I am.
Yeah. Bang go your chances of adding Churchill's body to the funeral bier of the American president. The Prime Minister will be leaving any day now.
And I have only just begun my search for the right man.
Andy, I thought I'd call and remind you about last night. Call Mr. Hoover. Tell him what we've come up with.
Yeah, but look, Gay,
Don't butt me no buts. What is there to lose?
Nothing, I guess. But in the cold light of day, I was thinking it might be better to wait until after my trip to the police station before calling the FBI.
I think we've got enough to go on.
Yeah, it's not too easy to phone from here in the office. Too many big ears.
Well, do what you can. I want to hear the result this evening.
I wonder how long Sergeant Huffman will be out of the room. I guess if I place the call and ask for the FBI director, it won't matter so much if the sergeant comes back before the call is completed. He'll only hear the tail end of the conversation, not enough to know what it's all about or to whom I might be talking. He won't know whether I've placed the call or I'm responding to one from someone else. What the hell is getting into me? Who's the master in this office anyway? Yeah, nevertheless, I'd prefer that he didn't know at this stage, if that's at all possible. I'll put through a call next time he's out of the room. Yeah, that's right. I want to speak to the director.
Yes, may I help you?
Good afternoon, Mr. Hoover. This is Captain Andrew Blasek at the White House. I'm calling in reference to some...
This is Special Agent Lawson. What can I do for you, Captain?
Lawson, but I asked for the director.
The director isn't available. May I help you?
Perhaps I didn't make myself clear. I'm in the internal security liaison at the White House. I think I may have something of importance to discuss with the director.
I'm sorry, Captain. The director is tied up. If you'd care to discuss your business with me, I'll be happy to relay it to him at the first opportunity.
Oh, I see. Is that the way it usually works?
Yes, sir. The director is a very busy man. I'm sure you understand.
Yes, I guess so. Well, I'm calling in reference to...
Oh, was that a relief? I'm fairly near to busting.
Yes, sir. You're calling in reference to what?
The spies.
What, sir? Could you speak up? I'm afraid we don't seem to have a very good connection.
I'm calling about the spies, the Nazi spies. The man who landed a couple of weeks ago from a submarine. That's my job. The point is, you only have four of them in custody. I wonder, have you given any thought to the possibility that the others may be somewhere in Washington?
I see. Perhaps we're in a better position to make that kind of determination, Captain. Why don't you just leave it to us?
Yes, of course. It's not a question of that. I've been working on it, and I wondered if... I don't see why it couldn't be possible... You don't think the director would be interested?
Well, what do you know?
Oh, give me that damn tablet back.
I beg your pardon? What was that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Someone just came into the office and they...
I'm sure the director will be gratified at your interest in Bureau Affairs, Captain. I'll see that he hears about it. In the meantime, you may rest assured that we have the situation well in hand. We expect arrests momentarily.
In Washington?
No, Captain.
I see. Well, if the director decides to look into it, you might have him call me. I have a few notes that I... Well, from what you said, there's probably nothing to it anyway. I just thought it might be a good idea to be on the safe side.
We appreciate your interest, Captain.
Yeah, well, a man must do what he feels is right. Thank you very much for your attention.
I did hear right. You did see the director?
Yeah, FBI business, it's still pretty hush-hush.
Written on a kid's big chief tab.
Oh, come on. I was working on it at Fran's house. There was nothing else to write on.
Not your handwriting, is it, Captain? Looks like Mrs. Cogswell.
Well, just give it here. Yes, she took notes while I thought out loud.
Spies. In Washington.
It's a definite possibility. I'm checking into it now.
Spies in Washington. From a submarine. Fascinating, Captain. Fascinating.
That evening of June 23rd, 1942, Edward Curling and Werner Thiel sidestepped through the crowded tables of a New York restaurant and headed for the rear. A string quartet, composed of men in their 50s and 60s, filled the air valiantly with music, trying to boost Bach above the din of conversing diners, clattering platters, and noisy, surly waiters. An elderly man, seated at a table against the back wall, saw Curling and Thiel and waved his hand in greeting.
That was The Ninth Man by John Lee. Adapted and directed for broadcasting in 25 parts by Victor Magazine. You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world.